This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Always follow the money.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We are live in downtown Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Busy three-hour program lined up today. Plenty on the divisional round as more betting markets are popping up on an hourly/daily basis, the way it seems. We'll get into tonight's college basketball card. Paul Charchin on the program, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer in 30 minutes, his best bets for the weekend. Greg Peterson on college hoops, Steve Wiss, soccer a little bit later on. And Paulie, it's a Thursday, so that means another betting scandal somewhere in the sports betting world. And this time it's college basketball, and the details continue to come out. But I'll just start with this. I mean, how the hell is somebody getting down $450,000 or more on a Towson game? They played UNC A&T.
Yep. We talked about this story when it broke a while back. It's our buddy Shane Hennon, who was arrested here at the airport, and they asked him where he's going. He was getting dental work done in Columbia. Absolutely. But this is the money he was betting on these lower conference league games and first half stuff. How it didn't sound the alarm, and how are you getting down this much money? $424,000 on Kent State first half against Buffalo?
Yeah, again, think about what you just said and what books in their right minds are going to take that action. As we speculated, right, when stories like this originally came out, we're like, well, is this a VIP/whale player at a national legal book that just burns money? Like, and they're like, okay, yeah, you can, we'll let you bet whatever you want, but they're going to, like, who's getting the biggest offshore books in the world are not taking this stuff?
I'd never heard of this before with this, yeah. This is like NFL playoff stuff with limits.
Mm-hmm.
$275,000 on South Alabama to cover the first half against Southern Miss. Another $256,000 bet on a first half. $168,000 on a Chinese basketball game. Guangdong Southern Tigers. And as Hennon,
it started off with Chinese basketball.
Yeah. As Hennon tweeted or texted a co-conspirator, nothing guaranteed in this world but death, taxes, and Chinese basketball.
Now that's a hell of a line.
And they had several players players listed. And he had Cottle. This is great timing with Greg Peterson coming on. The guy in his hip pocket he had was Cottle, the Conference USA preseason player of the year for Kennesaw. He's averaging 20 a game and had 21 last night.
Well, and now he has been, this news now coming out today, he has been suspended indefinitely. Another player that was brought up, looks like he's going to get it as well. But that's absolutely nuts for these games. And we're talking about first half bets as well to get down on. And I mean, you come to the counter here at Circa where they're taking $1 million bets on the NFL right now. You say, hey, can I get down? What would a laughable number be on a Towson game or a South Alabama game or one of these first halves? They'd say, maybe I'll give you 10 dimes. I know you. I know who you are.
Yeah,
we'll
right.
take whatever. But $275,000, $450,000, $424,000 in the first half of the Kent State Buffalo game. If you're doing this, by the way, as a bettor, all you're doing is putting out red flags, right? Yeah. If you want that much money down on some of these teams we just talked about, automatically it's going to be like, okay, sirens are going to go off right now. I don't care who you are.
Mm-hmm. No, we had to have information. Yeah, I'd like to see what his percentage was, too. Recruited players to participate in the scheme and offered bribes ranging from $10,000 to $30,000 to intentionally underperform. They then placed and won millions of dollars on the fixed games.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had guys all over with the schools and the Chinese basketball, and they also had a guy involved there who used to play in the NBA years ago, too.
And then he started to recruit some of his teammates.
Yeah, he got his teammates in on it, too. Where it's like, hey, it doesn't sound that bad. Just don't play that well, but make it look good.
And they were also going after players who were not getting NIL deals. So that can be a scary world as well. That's, I mean, smart from them, I guess, to do that and think of that idea. But again, man, I mean, how greedy do you have to be? I mean, you could have milked this thing for a little while and just called it quits at the end of a couple of years and said, okay, now we move on and find something else.
Yeah,
but I mean,
this shouldn't have happened. North Carolina A&T, Northwestern State, Bob Morris, Nichols State, Kennesaw State, Coppin State, Alabama State. These are the games you're getting down six figures?
Sure.
Come on.
I don't care if this better or betters, this group, if they've burned like millions of dollars betting the NFL over the last 3 or 4 years. This automatically is a tripwire if you're booking these games. You got to say absolutely not. We need more information on this. We don't care that you're a losing bettor, and you're one of the reasons why we're still in business, because you have no idea what you're doing. It's bad across the board. I've said this before. It's almost like if this is the case, again, kind of speculating on that, but you're almost enabling some of these people like that to go out there and say, we are willing to take whatever you want to get down on any sport. So have at it. It's a free for all. It's a wild, wild west.
Yeah.
And if you're able to get other, you know, people involved in this and create a ring, so be it. Dumb.
Well, David Purdom put it in perspective. We've had over 12,000 Division I games the last 2 years, and 29 here were affected. 20 of the 26 defendants played in the last 2 years, according to the indictment. And four of the players charged are playing in the past week for their current teams. As you mentioned, they were suspended then, and the kid for Kennesaw State being so good and what he did. But this is nuts how much money he was betting and how much he was getting down for. Getting down and on all these games. And first halves, that's the other thing. Yeah. First halves. $500,000 on a Townsend game against North Carolina A&T.
Remember, there was a college game earlier this year. We talked about it on the air briefly, where the game number was 16, and the first half was bet down to like 4, 4.5. And one of the Twitter accounts, I think, either it was a fan of the team or somebody covering the team, tweeted out, that's the worst first half of basketball I've ever seen them play.
That's right.
They were on the take.
Yeah.
They were one of the schools listed. You can go out there and find the schools for yourself, because it's public knowledge now of all these players and teams that were involved with the gambling ring.
Good call. Good memory. That was absolutely that.
You think that's a red flag?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, the game is 16.5, but the first half now, you won't stop betting it. It's down to 4.5 in the game.
Yep.
Huh, what's going on?
It's a Robert Walker line, too, about the guys come to the window and they don't care what the number is. When you get 2.5 points or better of it, if you walk across the street or go to whatever, pull out your phone and go to a different book and they don't care.
Now, I think I brought this up to you on the air before where, again, the person who is, what's his name, Shane Hennin?
Yes.
Okay. So he was busted at the airport. He's going to go to Columbia to get his dental work done. I actually know people who have done that before. So maybe he's telling the truth on that. Not to Colombia, but they have traveled to the Philippines, other spots, to save a lot of money and get the dental work done.
All right. Yeah, 10,000 cash on him, I believe. Okay.
All right.
I'm sure it checks out.
Well, I'm not saying that it does. Yeah. I'm just telling you that I know people.
It's like the Seinfeld episode. This guy's a snowblower. Going to South America with all our money.
Uh-huh.
He's got the sniffles. You got a cold, fella? No.
All right. On to the NFL. It's official. Became in the wee hours, John Harbaugh has taken the job with the New York Giants. He turned into a big favorite in prediction markets and some of the books that actually posted the stuff and let it up. He was as high as like $5 or at like Kelce and beyond, like 70%+ after the Stefanski stuff. Looked like he was going to go somewhere else. And now he's their guy. Good move by them. Absolutely going to win the press conference. The media there is going to love it. And he's like the right guy for the culture in that building as well. And I think the Giants, I think it's a really good job. Now, just be patient. He's 63 years old. But this team could be players as soon as next year. But if they're not, don't say it was a disastrous hire. Give this team a little bit of time because they have the young guys, I think, that could be winners here. Sooner than later, in my opinion. But if it's not happening as soon as next year, then wait to happen. You know, give them the guy. I don't know how much longer he's going to have left as a 63-year coach. Maybe he wants to go until he's 75 years old, but overall, I think it's both good for both sides.
Yeah. Seven teams reached out in the first 45 minutes after the news came down.
Yeah.
So he was a hot commodity. But this has just been a disaster for the organization going back. The only fluke was when they made the playoffs with Danny Dimes and had that easy record. Joke of a schedule. Easy schedule. But winning percentage, 31st. Points per game, 30th. This is the last 5 years. Yards per game, 29th. Opposing yards per game, 30th. Fix the defense. You have stars and players on offense, and maybe you can make a playoff run. But remember, every year we're talking about slow starts with this team, too.
Yeah, we are.
Well, they're always seemingly 1-6 every single year, and 7-27 the last 2 years.
hire the right offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
Right, because they
that's
got
right.
They're gonna if they stay healthy, they have tons of talent on that side of the ball.
Yeah,
and they got a star left tackle. I think they have a really good quarterback. I know if Scadabo stays healthy, he's the real deal, and so is Neighbors.
And yeah, are you surprised that that he went this route though, with the Atlanta job opening and some other jobs? Easier division.
No, because
team that should have had a winning record.
I think maybe the appeal here was the fact that he could actually be the. Again, Kingfish, like in New York.
Okay.
Because if he turns it into a winner, he's going to turn into a legend immediately. So I'm not really that surprised overall. Other news, Sean McDermott came out and said today, doesn't know if Ty Johnson's going to be able to go or not, still waiting on that, but Jordan Poyer and Maxwell Hairston in the secondary, both guys are out for Buffalo. That is confirmed.
Yeah. Oliver limited. We'll see if Johnson can go, what that means for Ray Davis, if he can get touches, he doesn't fumble, though. That was a problem last week. So that's the news there. Warner was at practice.
He was not wearing a helmet, though.
No, he didn't do much. Nope.
And Charles Cross, offensive lineman, both full participants. Elijah Arroyo as well. That offensive line could use mm-hmm. as much help as possible. It obviously never hurt, and Charles Cross is really good. So that would be a big deal. However, Reek Woolen limited, as was DeMarcus Lawrence. Two really good defensive players. Up next, we'll discuss more markets becoming available in the divisional round for an NFL playoffs. And Paulie sent me a text last night with a couple of screen grabs, circling a couple of bets. And when he does that, you know he likes them. Find out what they are next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Well, this is something definitely to monitor. As moments ago, the Seahawks listed quarterback Sam Darnold as questionable. Yeah, it's an oblique injury. Their OC, Clint Kubiak, declined to talk about it, but did say that Drew Locke got reps today with the first team. So there is that. Oblique injury, Sam Darnold is questionable. Seahawks still lane 7 against the 49ers. We head out here to the Progressive Guest Line. Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian joins the program now. You did not have any Seahawks bets that we were going to talk about here, but your gut reaction to this news, Charch?
Don't love it. I'll be honest. This is totally out of the blue. This presumably was an injury that happened in practice. So I'd like to believe that it's not a contact injury. I'd like to believe it's not going to be that serious, but you know, don't love the notion that, you know, Drew Locke getting first team reps today in practice. I'm not uh-huh. going to panic yet, but I'd hesitate before I do any wagering that involves the Seattle offense requiring Sam Darnold to be there. That's for sure. I'd wait and see how this thing plays itself out. But yeah, this is completely out of the blue.
Okay. Let's stick with that game here because you do have a couple of bets that you like. One, Christian McCaffrey and the Seahawks defense, they're a monster, very difficult to run on, and you're betting accordingly?
Yeah. Yep, CMC. The number is 56.5 rushing yards. We are taking the under on this. Seahawks are a great run defense, and Christian McCaffrey has struggled on the ground all year, and there's a lot of brand equity in Christian McCaffrey's name. Mm-hmm. But you need to look at the real life metrics here of who he is at this stage of his career as a runner, not as a receiver, as a runner. You know, he's a future Hall of Famer. Among 34 NFL runners with at least 150 carries this year, so effectively starting running backs in the league, here's where Christian McCaffrey ranks in some key metrics. 29th in yards per carry, 28th in yards after contact, 30th in PFF's elusiveness ranking, 31st in broken tackle rate.
Ooh.
that's who Christian McCaffrey is as a runner right now. Those aren't good numbers. And in McCaffrey's two regular season matchups with Seattle, 3.1 yards per carry in week one and 2.9 yards per carry in week 18 in the two previous matchups. We're looking at that line again, under 56 and a half yards. The Seattle run defense, it's really good. Number three in run stuff win rate, number seven in PFF's run defense grade, number three in rushing yards allowed to running backs, and number one in yards per carry allowed. It's all uphill. McCaffrey's going to need, I think, really big volume to get to 57 yards. And I just don't think it's going to be there. When McCaffrey sees 20 or fewer carries, this is your key stat to take away from this. Again, the line is 56 and a half. When McCaffrey sees 20 or fewer carries, he has been under 57 yards 9 out of 10 times. McCaffrey would have to see 20 or more carries. His over-under on carries is 15 and a half. I don't think he's going to get to 20.
Good job, my man. What do you think of Tongas then in place of Kittle? He's in the low 30s.
Love this. So okay. This to me, this is, Paulie, this is Tongas every way you can attack it. I like it every way you can bet it, basically. Over 33 and a half receiving yards, over 3.5 receptions. I would take the anytime touchdown. Plus 350 is one of the more broken lines of this weekend. So let's talk about Tongas. We've got a pretty big sample size of games in which Tongas was the full-time starter because Kittle missed 6 full games this year. And Tongas, we'll look at the data on those 6 games that Tongas started in place of Kittle. He averaged 5.5 receptions. Again, the line is 3.5. He averaged 45 yards. The line is 33.5. And he averaged half a touchdown per game. How good are 5.5 receptions, 45 yards, and half a touchdown per game? Well, you're basically getting George Kittle. Same number of receptions per game, same number of touchdown rate. Kittle would get more yards, about 20 more yards per game. But that's great. From a fantasy parlance, if Tongas had extracted those numbers out of a whole season, he would have been tight end 3 on the entire year. So this is, I mean, they basically just plugged Tongas into the George Kittle role. So you're getting a poor man's George Kittle at like 1/3 or half of the kind of numbers that you would normally have to pay for Kittle. Then there's Seattle defense. Now the Seattle defense is really good at pretty much everything, but they've got this weird Achilles heel for tight ends. They allowed the 5th most tight end receptions this year. They allowed the 6th most tight end yards this year. And when these teams played in week 18, Kittle was healthy, 5 catches. When these teams played in week 1, Kittle got hurt halfway through the game. Kittle and Tongas combined for 7 catches and 2 touchdowns. So again, Tongas averaging half a touchdown per game. His anytime touchdown is plus 350 for a guy who's averaging half a touchdown per full game. That seems like great value. So I like Tongas almost every way you can bet him here.
All right, good breakdown. Hall of Famer Paul Charchian, our guest on the Progressive Guest Line, Follow the Money. Paulie and Mitch Vesa, the Sports Betting Network. I love your 2 picks here in the Denver game. My buddy Ozzie reached out and says he loves R.J. Harvey over receiving. Yes. And the targets have been there. Is this a huge R.J. Harvey game for the Broncos?
I think it is. I like the running more than I like the receiving because they tend to use Tyler Bajan, who gets mixed into the passing some. They tend to use McLaughlin in the passing some. And that waters things down a little bit for me. But I like Harvey having potentially a really big game here. I want to talk about the over 49.5 rushing yards, the minus 130 anytime touchdown, and the plus 425 2 touchdown. And part of the reason Harvey is pretty much a full-time runner. And there's a scenario here where he hits the most rushing yards on the weekend, plus 850 for most rushing yards on the weekend. All right, let's talk it through. I'll try to be brief. This is really hard though. There's so much good data. The Bills are a shockingly bad run defense. It's been their Achilles heel all year. In 4 of 5 Buffalo losses this year, a runner has gone over today's line of 49.5. That includes 4 straight times, and in many cases, way over. Devon Achane, 174 yards against the Bills. Bijan Robbins, 170 yards. He's not as good as those guys, R.J. Harvey, but it's still a great trend here. And I mention this because this can't be lost on the Sean Payton staff. They know the surest way to beat the Bills is on the ground, keep Josh Allen on the bench. Last week, the Jaguars running backs against the Bills posted 8 yards per carry. You know, Liam Cohen made a huge blunder not running more. More Buffalo run defense futility stats for you. They rank 27th in yards allowed to opposing backs at 108 per game. We need less than half of 108 rushing yards per game at 49.5 for RJ Harvey. The Bills rank 21st in run defense stuff rate. The PFF ranks Buffalo 25th in run defense. And the Broncos finished the season with the fourth best run block win rates. The line of scrimmage should be dominated by the Broncos here. You know, there's 8 teams remaining in the playoffs. Only 3 don't have a timeshare back. You know, it's James Cook, there's Christian McCaffrey, and there's RJ Harvey. Those are the only 3 guys that don't see timeshares. So I think there's a real path here for Harvey to get a bunch of work. It gets a bad run defense and end up with the most rushing yards on the weekend. He's got a chance of cashing that plus 850 most rushing yards as well. All the stats here seem very, very strong for RJ Harvey.
Dynamite analysis, as always. In my notes a little bit later on in the show, I was going to bring up Harvey plus 450 to score twice, McLaughlin plus 550 anytime, and he's 70-1 to score twice just in case something happened to Harvey in the game. Yeah. Okay, final one here that you like. Josh Allen has to throw the ball to somebody, down to like 3 receivers. Broncos can be had against,
right,
you know, in the defense against tight ends, but you want to go with the receiver. Which one?
I'm going Khalil Shakir, over 45.5 receiving yards. And you mentioned Josh Palmer's out, Tyrell Shaver's out, Gabe Davis is out. They're down to journeyman Brandon Cooks. Keon Coleman, who they has been a healthy scratch as recently as 3 weeks ago. And Curtis Samuel, they might try to get him back on the field. This passing offense is going to go largely through Khalil Shakir. And you might be tempted to think that Vance Joseph will have Patrick Surtain roll to the slot to cover Shakir, because Shakir is by far the best receiver on the team. But the thing is, Surtain never plays the slot. He hasn't taken more than 9 snaps in the slot in over a year. So that means Shakir is not going to see Surtain in this game. And what they do, by the way, as a side note for the tight end talk that you just alluded to, when the opposing team doesn't have a go-to outside receiver, they put Surtain on tight ends, and you watch. They're going to put him on Dalton Kincaid.
Ooh.
Surtain's got that big body, 6'2", 200 pounds. You watch how often he's on Kincaid in this game. It's going to happen a lot. So this year, Denver allowed the 4th highest ratio of yards to slot receivers versus outside receivers. Again, in part because Patrick Surtain's on the outside. So people attack the slot against Denver. Their slot cornerback is Jaquan McMillan. In last year's meetings between these teams, McMillan covered Shakir a ton, targeted him 3 times, caught all 3. He's a pretty good cornerback, but over the last month, allowing an 80% catch rate. And when these teams met in the playoffs last year, Shakir, 6 catches, 61 yards. Those would both be over Shakir, over 45.5 yards.
I'll throw this at you. Sean Payton probably remembers this happening 10 or more years ago. When he played New England with the Saints, Jimmy Graham was in like tight end beast mode, right? During this time.
Yeah.
There was a game in the regular season where Bill Belichick put Aqib Talib on Jimmy Graham and completely shut him down. Peyton probably has that still in the back of his mind already. And he's like, okay, I can do the same thing here against the Bills this weekend.
That could be the case. Great memory on that. Fantastic.
You're the man, Charge. We'll see you this weekend. Okay.
See you Sunday.
Win lose up next. 2 quarterbacks undefeated when the point spread is in this range. Paulie has the details next. Got some college basketball here as we head out to the Progressive guest line. Greg Hoops Peterson joins the program. You can get his daily write-ups, and he is not shy about firing away. Even when we have only one like team in the top 25 ranked tonight, he likes to roll up the sleeves. He gets down and dirty with the lower leagues as well. We'll get his best bets here. Greg, good afternoon. Thanks for the time, pal. We appreciate it. I want to begin with this, though. The latest betting scandal in sports involves college basketball. Again, to go over some of this stuff, these bettors were getting down $458,000 on a Towson game. How about $424,000 on Kent State to cover the first half against Buffalo? A bunch of bets, more than $250,000 with some of these teams that are, I mean, South Alabama, Northern Kentucky. What was your biggest takeaway from that story today?
For one, there's clearly not just one better placing one bet on $450,000 in Towson versus North Carolina. This has to be some sort of group of people. This has to be, if you are only having a few bettors, people betting it over and over and over and over. And if you read into some of the texts, I know that Pete Thamel posted up some of those as well. They were talking about, oh, we need Towson to knock off North Carolina A&T by at least 10 points. I can tell you, I've been tracking these Towson versus North Carolina A&T games for the last few years. Towson typically much more than a 10-point favorite in that spot. So that tells me that they're probably betting some alternate lines. And I mean, the biggest thing for me is that it's a big giant web with this. Like, there's a lot that is going on. It's probably happening at multiple different books. And I think that there's many, many different layers to it that we probably are going to need a little bit more information to know exactly what happened with it all. Because I just am in disbelief if you're able to get down $450,000 on Towson to be able to cover 10-plus against North Carolina A&T.
Well, it's easy. Interesting how they sold this to these guys about here's 30 grand or 20 grand. You can win, but just don't cover. Good point about the alts as well. Take us through the players that were affected that were still playing. And like the guy at Kennesaw who's been suspended that was leading the team in scoring.
Yeah, Simeon Cottle being out for Kennesaw State, that's actually a really big deal. Like, typically with these betting scandals, you might have, like, one guy that was averaging 2 or 3 points that's off the team. Like, I know that Wisconsin had one of the guys from Temple, and he never got out there on the floor. That was a big, giant nothing burger. Like, this legitimately affects Kennesaw State big time. That is their top scorer for a team that plays super up-tempo, guy that has the ball in his hands quite a bit. He's probably worth, at the minimum, 3 to 3.5 points to the line for Kennesaw State. That's going to be hurting them. The guy Carlos Hart for Eastern Michigan, he's one of three guys that averages double figures for them. I have to downgrade Eastern Michigan for them now. Now, with Kimeon Shell, he wasn't doing a lot for his team, so that one is not going to be too much. But, like, there's actual players that are making meaningful contributions that have been listed here. They're all been suspended indefinitely. You want to be really brushing up on this, whether you're someone that's looking into this or not, because this affects the teams out there on the court this year, which makes this very different than a lot of the other scandals in the past.
All right, let's go hardcore tonight. Again, Gonzaga is the only ranked team in action. But I want to start in the Summit League. Paulie St. Thomas Tommies from basically his neck of the woods in action, taking on North Dakota, and the Tommies off to a good start again this year, 14-4 overall, 3-0 in league play. Are they laying too many points tonight, though?
I think so. When I was writing this up, I was seeing this line right around 9.5 and 10. I took the points with North Dakota. Now, North Dakota, not a great defense. They are outside the top 275 in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. They do one thing well, though. They generate turnovers. They are 29th in the country in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis, and they go up against the St. Thomas team that has been a solid offensive team. They're in the top 80 in terms of points per possession. Here's what St. Thomas won't do, though. Give themselves extra opportunities to score. Out of 365 Division I teams, they are currently ranking, depending upon the day, 362nd or 363rd in terms of offensive rebound percentage. So if they miss their first shot, they're not really going to be able to get a second opportunity. And North Dakota has been pretty good in terms of not allowing those second and third chances. They've got a guy in Eli King that began his career over at Iowa State. He's been a nice little bit of statue suffer for them. North Dakota, they've struggled a little bit with their scoring as well. And they're a little bit more of a mid-tempo team this year, not necessarily cranking up the tempo. But I think the way that they generate turnovers, the way that St. Thomas doesn't give themselves second chances to score, that allows North Dakota on their home floor. And it's not necessarily the easiest road trip for St. Thomas here for this North Dakota team to hold in there. So took the points we're here with North Dakota right now, seeing that 9.5 to 10.
All right. Don't look now. But Doug Gottlieb's crew, the Phoenix of Wisconsin Green Bay, playing much better basketball. Now, he quit the radio job, and I think it makes a little bit of sense here that the team's been on the uptick. They are undefeated in the 2026 calendar year, and they're 5-2 in conference play in the Horizon. They're on the road tonight, laying about 3.5 against Cleveland State. Do you trust the Gottliebs here, the Fighting Gottliebs, or do you want to go the other way?
I think that this is actually a bad matchup for UW-Green Bay, and I recognize that Cleveland State has been a rough team thus far this season, but personally, I made Cleveland State the 1-point favorite here because with Cleveland State, their biggest weakness has been losing the turnover battle. They're outside the top 300 in terms of turnovers per possession on offense, outside the top 275 in terms of turnovers generated on a per possession basis on defense. But here's what UW-Green Bay does not do: generate turnovers. bottom 10 team in the country in terms of turnovers forced on a per possession basis, and they don't give themselves second chances. Bottom 15 team in terms of offensive rebound percentage, and this Cleveland State team shoots it well from three-point range. Top 75 team with their three-point shooting percentage. Trey Beard has been able to give you 15-plus points per contest. He shoots it relatively well from the outside. It's a Cleveland State team that does an okay job in terms of being able to give themselves some second and third chances. They've had a few guys be banged up, especially some of their low post presence that are back, so I do think that Cleveland State is a little bit better than their metrics would indicate. And for this UW Green Bay team, you do have Marcus Hall as the main constant for them, but it's been a little bit hit or miss as to who's been able to step up for the team outside of him. So I'm going to trust in Cleveland State here on the money line. And for Cleveland State, they're a team that's really looking to push tempo right now. Top 50 team in terms of total possessions per game. They're really giving it up on defense. And frankly, both of these teams are. If this does come down to the spread, right now you're probably going to be getting a little bit of late game fouling at a 150 and a half. I think that those late game free throws can also push you over the total.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Greg Peterson. He does daily write-ups, college basketball savant here at VSiN. You can go check him out at vsin.com during the college basketball year, baseball season as well, along with other sports. Let's stick in the horizon because IU Indy is a team that caught our attention to begin the year. New coach, crazy hectic pace he wanted to bring to this program. And the first game against Ohio State, both teams scored over 100. So it's like, oh my God, these books can't make the totals high enough. Then they started to play a bunch of unders. Now, they're a bad basketball team. They're 4-15 and 0-8 in league play. But tonight's game against Robert Morse, small enough a number for you to maybe trust this team to go over yet again?
Yes, because with IU Indy, their totals got way overinflated after their first few games. They played that harebrained game against Long Island. You mentioned that game against Ohio State. And then from there, they just kept on going under because they kept on placing these totals right around the high 170s, the low 180s. And IU Indy has slowed down a little bit more in conference play, but they're still a team that ranks in the top 10 nationally in terms of total possessions per game. And for IU Indy, if they don't generate a turnover, you're going to get very clean looks for one, and two, they get absolutely dominated on the glass. And one thing that this Robert Morris team does an amazing job of is grabbing offensive rebounds. Top 25 team in terms of percentage of their missed shots that result in an offensive rebound. You've got Nicholas Chatakoulis along with Deshaun Good, who's been very good, combining for about 15 to 16 rebounds per game. So they are going to be able to get those second and third chances. And for IU Indy, they've actually played about two-thirds of their games to the under. I think a lot of people would be surprised by that because you saw those first few games of the season go over the total. They got overinflated. Now you're finding the buy point once again on the overs because a lot of people are like, hey, I got burnt taking the over last few times. Let's go under. And the bookmakers have had to shade the totals down. Now I think we're back on that buy point four and over. And we did see their last game against UW-Milwaukee go over the total.
Gonzaga in action tonight, as Mitch mentioned, ranked 9th, 17-1. Only lost to Michigan. Could this team run the table into the actual tournament?
I think that they're going to lose somewhere along the way because St. Mary's just always seems to play this team relatively tough. And you want to be noting the weekend matchup for this Gonzaga team against Seattle because they got pushed to overtime against Seattle on their home floor that's within the state of Washington. Now, I don't know if Seattle's going to be able to win that game outright, but clearly they were able to unearth something. They played that single-digit game against San Diego. So while this Gonzaga team only has one outright loss, they've had a few struggles here in conference play, and them laying 19 tonight, having to go to Pullman, which I recognize is within the state of Washington once again, but Pullman is not an easy place to be able to go to. I think that Washington State is going to be able to cover this summer. And for Washington State, one thing that works in their advantage in this game tonight as well, they don't allow second chances. Third in the country in terms of defensive rebound percentage, teams grab less than 20.5% of their missed shots as an offensive rebound, and it's break glass in case of emergency for Ace Glass, who had that memorable performance in the Maui Invitation a little bit before, averages 15 points per game for Washington State. I think Washington State just catching a few too many points here, and while Gonzaga is a really good team and their defense is really better than ever, I do think that they're starting to get a little bit overinflated with these lines, and we've seen some struggles.
Quickly here, we're up against the clock, but we're not going to hold you to this either. If you to bet on one team to win the national title right now, who would it be?
I would have to go with Arizona just because they've had the fewest tests. I recognize that against Arizona State yesterday, they have had a little bit of a struggle there, but this is an Arizona team that's went on the road. They've knocked off so many ranked teams and they just feel very complete right now.
Thanks, Greg. Best of luck with the card tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you guys.
Take care.
And there you go. By the way, his daily podcast is called Coast to Coast Hoops, part of the VSiN podcast family here. Does a great job. He really hardcore with the breakdown, as you can tell there. Again, Coast to Coast Hoops is a podcast. daily write-ups at VSiN.com as well. Latest news in the National Football League. Received an injury update from a head coach this morning. Wasn't great news for the team. That's next. Time now for some best bets this weekend in soccer as we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. The Meat Man, Steve Wiss, joins the program with the Betting Weekly Studios. Because We Win podcast, I have to begin with this, and we got plenty of reaction on this. For example, Eric emailed the show, Steve, and good afternoon, thanks for the time as always, about Crystal Palace. And he said, the next time you talk, can you bring up the game against Macclesfield? And he was looking at to play Crystal Palace this weekend. We all know what happened. Macclesfield is a sixth-tier team, and Palace lost outright. Are you on board with this? Did you do anything with Palace now in their next match? No, we're still working on him. Okay, don't have him quite yet. All right.
It was the biggest upset in FA Cup history with the sixth-tier, and then the gap, 117 places.
Think about
and,
that.
And 10-1 on the money line. Yeah.
Steve, we're talking about what happened with Palace against Macclesfield, and if you want to back Palace after getting embarrassed by that output.
Yeah, it's a good question. Hi, guys, by the way. Listen, it's Crystal Palace. I mentioned it before Christmas, how they had so many games to play in December that I think this was the final culmination of all their problems, really. Will they bounce back now? The problem is this weekend they've got Sunderland. Have you ever been in a situation where you kind of want to fade both teams?
Mm-hmm.
This is where I'm at with this match this weekend, Sunderland and Crystal Palace. So it's a difficult question, really, to see how Palace will bounce back, potentially. Maybe this could be a tie. They've had a full week of rest, which is good, and the media have been telling them how bad they are. So maybe they can bounce back.
All right, fair enough. Let's start with Saturday, Leeds against Fulham. Who do you like in this one at 10 o'clock Eastern?
Leeds, definitely. Leeds have a great home record. They are much, much better at home than away from home. So it absolutely makes sense to get them here at +120 against Fulham, who Fulham are not a bad team. They're a mid-table sort of side. But I can't forget the previous meeting between the two sides back in, I think it was September or October. Fulham won 1-0 with the most ridiculous own goal you've ever seen in your life. It should have been 0-0, but Leeds outplayed them that day. I think matchup-wise, Leeds are really good against Fulham here. They've got two strikers, physical team, and at home, we know that the atmosphere and the crowd at Elland Road are going to get them over the line. I actually thought Leeds would be even money or even minus money to win this game. They are a really strong home team. They've proven that against some of the better teams in the Premier League. And they can get a win here against Fulham after a full week of rest.
Let's go to Sunday. The early match is Wolverhampton against Newcastle. You see goals in that one. Tell us why.
Yeah, I think because Wolves are actually finally showing a bit of fight. And, you know, they're going to go down swinging, which I kind of thought would happen a bit earlier, a few weeks ago. But now they are starting to score a few more goals. A morale-boosting FA Cup win against really poor lower league team. But it's a win nevertheless. They actually have finally got on the board with a victory in the Premier League this season. So, yeah, I think it's a good time for Wolves to strike again against Newcastle. But the problem for Wolves, especially at home, is their defence is awful. So Newcastle have got enough weapons to take advantage of that one. In terms of a match result, there might be a few bettors out there looking to get sort of on a Newcastle lock or a Newcastle banker. I'm not sure about Newcastle. They're not always trustworthy away from home, but they do have a lot of firepower in their ranks who can take advantage of a potentially poor Wolves back line. This could be something like a 2-2 tie, actually. Over 2.5 goals, -143. No need to overcomplicate this one. I think it's going to be an entertaining game.
Sounds good. The late match Saturday is Aston Villa against Everton. Why do you like Villa?
Well, there's two main reasons. Number one, I think they're the much better team. But secondly, Everton's team news is really, really bad. The African Nations Cup, which I mentioned on here a few weeks ago, that is the final this weekend. And unfortunately for Everton, One of the teams in the final, Senegal, two of their players are going to be still there. So two really important players, Idrissa Gueye and Illiman Ndiaye. They're already missing their best midfielder this season, Kiernan Dewsbury-Hall. They've got a suspension at the back in the form of Michael Keane. This is a pretty threadbare squad anyway. And an Aston Villa side who have been excellent this season. They've often kind of overachieved a bit with the metrics, but that's what the good teams do. You know, they've got the players, the individual quality in attack who can score these long-range galazzos, who can score chances when you don't expect them to get in the back of the net. And defensively, they've got one of the best goalkeepers in the world, really, in Emi Martinez, who is Argentina's number one goalkeeper, of course. So Aston Villa here, I mean, I looked at them on handicaps, actually, -1, -1.5, yeah. But -150 just simply on the money line. This would have to be my best bet of the week, actually, Aston Villa, just simply to win the game. It looks a great bet.
Very good. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Steve Wiss, you can follow him on X. He is at Meatman Soccer. He is with the Because We Win podcast and Betting Weekly Studios, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's fast forward to Monday. Brighton takes on Bournemouth. Are you expecting goals here in this match?
Yeah, follow the rules with Bournemouth. Unders at home, overs away.
Yeah.
So it's got to be, yeah, over three Asian goals, even money. Full push if there's three goals scored exactly. But this has all the ingredients to be a really high-scoring affair. And I think the only reason that the goal line is as low as it is because Bournemouth have now finally sold their best player, Antoine Semenyo, to Manchester City for about $80 million. It's a big loss. But it's just the way that Bournemouth play. They've got so many attacking players. The manager loves to be on the front foot. I think Brighton as well can be vulnerable defensively. There's a history of goals when these two teams meet. And it's a bit of a sort of rivalry. These two teams on the south coast of England. And I think there's a slight rivalry starting to build between the two sides, which will give it a bit of spice. We're under the Monday night football cameras, which I think always motivates the players a little bit harder. And it's a sort of match where the result's difficult to predict. But in terms of overs and unders and goals, you have to go over goals with Bournemouth away from home. Their averages are through the roof on the road. So let's just stick with what works. Stick with the Bournemouth rules. Brighton will get sucked into this shootout as well. Over three Asian goals plus 100 would have to be, again, a really strong selection for me this week.
I'm surprised they're doing this so early. Do you have a lean Saturday morning, 4:30 Pacific, Man U, Man City?
Oh, what a tough game. It's because Manchester United have changed their manager again recently.
Uh-huh.
So we don't really know which Man United are going to show up. It was a really bad performance last week in the FA Cup, though. So Manchester City have been playing a lot of fixtures recently. The manager, Pep Guardiola, said Erling Haaland is very tired. He needs a rest. He's not right at the minute. But it's the Manchester derby, as we call it. So everyone's fired up. You're going to be on adrenaline. Do you know what? If in doubt, let's back the best team, right? So the lean would have to be Manchester City around evens. But I wouldn't get heavily involved in this game.
All right. And let's go to the England Championship League, the league below the Prem. Saturday morning, tell us why you like Sheffield United.
Yeah, I gave Sheffield United out last time here on the show. They are a team massively on the rise in the Championship League. 7 wins out of 10. Definitely a dark horse, as we call it, to make the playoffs this season. And they're plus money to beat a Charlton side who are in free fall. 1 win in 11 for them. So it's basically two teams in completely contrasting form. Let's not forget that Charlton are a newly promoted side this season and Sheffield United are a relegated team from the Premier League. So at some point, the quality gulf is going to actually tell. And Charlton had a good start to the season, but their form of late has been so bad. And this often happens with promoted teams around now. They hit a brick wall and they are the team looking over their shoulder at relegation rather than Sheffield United, who started the season so badly. So I'm quite happy to keep riding this Sheffield United train at a plus money bet against a Charlton team who have not impressed me recently.
Very good. You also like betting the NFL. Do you have any futures that are pending on a team to win the Super Bowl or anything like that?
I unfortunately have a ticket on the Jaguars who are knocked out now. But this is a weird year, isn't it, in the NFL?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's a few kind of underdogs that have been doing quite well. I quite like the LA Rams, actually, if they can get past this cold weather event in Chicago. But, you know, I know there was some news today about the Seattle's quarterback. You know, it's fine margins now, isn't it, at this yep. stage of the season. Who have you guys got?
I have I'm penning on the Rams here. Bet them almost a year ago. End of February, I bet them.
Did you get about 20 to 1, 15?
30.
30, very good. I mean, I think they're the best team. It's just that it's going to be really cold weather, isn't it, in Chicago. So let's see if they can get through. If they can get through that test, I think, yeah, they might well go all the way, guys.
I hope you're right, buddy. Thank you for the time, as always. Best of luck this week.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Good to talk to you. Good job, Meat Man.
Follow him on X, at Meat Man Soccer.
They were the best team.
Yeah, they were.
It hasn't looked like it for a month and a half.
They can turn it around, but...
What do you think? All right, let me run it down again. 34 to Detroit, 38 to Seattle, 37 to Atlanta, 31 to Carolina, 4-for-4 in the red zone. Touchdowns.
I'm beyond concerned.
Yep.
Gotta be. I don't know.
And the voodoo. Chicago number one in takeaways and forcing turnovers.
Berries on me for sure if the Rams win between 1 and 4 points this week and they get the Niners in the NFC title game.
Okay.
In Pocket plays next here on VSiN.